season's over, but it's time to take a little inventory with the Jaguars' present and future. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for joining me, Tony Wiggins, the host of Locked On Jaguars, with today's show. Thank you for joining me, making us your first listen, because it's your team every day. We really appreciate it. Also, to let you know that we are free on whatever platform you get your podcast. You don't have to pay for it. Locked On Jaguars is free wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube page as well. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Man, it's been a good year. It's been a good year for the Jaguars. It's been a good year for the fans. Ended with a 27-20 loss to Kansas City, as you already know, obviously, and you heard us talk about on our postcast the other day after the game. So what do we do now? We're going to talk about what this season showed us, and it's something that we haven't seen a lot around here, and I'm going to get to exactly what it is in just a second in segment one. But segment two and three, I'm going to let you know that we're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk about some of the mistakes I'm already hearing people say that this team should make and how we can take the emotion out of it. And in segment three, actually how we can get better instead of debating what they should do specifically. I'll mention some scenarios and some names that will allow you to understand how I think the team can get better without sticking to too much familiarity. We'll talk about that. But right now, what did this season show us? It showed us the importance of leadership. It showed us the importance of not only having a really, really talented quarterback, but having a quarterback who gets it. And Trevor Lawrence gets it. He has the it factor. He has the humility. He has all of the intangibles that you want to go along with his physical ability. And it's a place where the Jaguars, as an organization, with no disrespect to Mark Brunell, who's in the Ring of Honor, this is different. This is superstar level, born with it, and enhanced it and nourished it through coaching. This is special. And that's what Trevor Lawrence is. We can talk about that some more in a second. The other thing it showed us is, no matter how special a player is, you need the right leader to cultivate that into success and winning. And Doug Peterson is that guy. This entire team was totally different to be around from day one. And if we go back to training camp and some of the shows that we did and podcasts that we did at the time, I mentioned that. I mentioned that something feels different. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like a dog and pony show. It feels and looks like a lot of work was being put into this team. And there were various points during the season, like when they were 2-7, that everyone had the right to doubt that, including me. And I did, a part of it did. And a lot of that angst went towards Trent Baalke. If you give him all of that grief, you got to give him credit for at least having guys on the roster who could respond to Doug Peterson, the situation that was at hand. And that's exactly what the Jaguars did. Now we're in a position where folks want to look forward and look ahead. Keep this in mind, the Jags only lost one of their 8 losses outside of the realm of one score, and that was the Detroit game. Technically, two, the KC game as well in the regular season. But all of the other games, they were right there knocking on the door. Now, we can talk about we need a change at defensive coordinator and forget that that guy held the Chargers to 3 points in the second half. We need a change at defensive coordinator and forget that a night where the offense didn't have it in a must-win game to make the playoffs, they did what they had to do against the Titans. We need to fire the defensive coordinator. We forget that against Dallas, if Dallas just scores one more time after being up, if they score another touchdown after being up 27-0, the Jaguars lose. We forget that with all the rallies from behind that this team had, at some point, brakes had to be put on the other team's offense in order for the Jaguars to catch up and eventually pass that team. We also fail to acknowledge that we don't know from a personnel standpoint how happy Doug Peterson is with some of the parts on defense. I cannot watch a game and tell you whether I think it's the fault of the offense or the players or the coaches sometimes. Unless it's something like a guy, dropping a ball that hits him right in his hands or fumbling a ball. You don't know if a team is being out. From the naked eye, you can tell if a team is being out-schemed. And I know there's a lot of people that want to say, how do you not stop Travis Kelce? Travis Kelce had 7 yards a catch. Now, he had 14,000 catches. But if you watch the tape, a lot of those catches weren't even on the initial route. They were on a broken route where he peeled off. That's a Hall of Fame tight end from a Hall of Fame quarterback that have known each other for a long time. They're going to have that kind of chemistry. You should only hope that the Jaguars eventually get something close to that. So that'll tie into something later on that we're talking about. How come they didn't blitz more? Well, I'll give you a guess. Maybe the Jaguars came into the game and picked their poison and said, you know what? We're going to make him just throw the ball really, really quick and hope that by the ball being in the air, we'll get a tip pass here or there, or one of our rushers will get there, or it makes them abandon the run, or it gets rid of them waiting to hit deep balls. And maybe what we'll do is make them go down the field slowly but surely. And then when Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, well, now what we really wanted to do was play man-to-man, but the reason why we didn't play man-to-man is because, and this is all hypothetical, the reason why we didn't play man-to-man is because we're worried about him scrambling. Now that we're not worried about him scrambling, we can do what we do best. We can play man-to-man and turn our back to him. But then the Chiefs decided they were going to ground and pound and run the football, and the Jaguars couldn't stop him. I'm of the thinking that your personnel needs to be boosted up. And I'm not saying that Mike Caldwell didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying until I hear or see it from Doug Peterson, and the only way you'd hear or see it is if they make a move and fire Mike Caldwell, that's what it is. The only people that know the weaknesses, like I've made this analogy before, your kids. You know your kids better than anybody, but you ain't going to go and tell the world what their weaknesses are, right? You're trying to cover up and hide those things. I believe that those coaches and the personnel people in that building know what their weaknesses are. And sometimes when you see them coach a certain way, they're not doing it just because that's their philosophy. It's their job to put their players in the best possible position to win. And it's also their job to not put their players in impossible positions and make them do things they can't do. Maybe some of the things they want to do defensively, they can't do defensively because they know what their limitations are. And you can have pride and go out and try to do it just to prove something to people, and then it doesn't work. So what this season showed us on offense is this. The quarterback is for real. He is good enough to lift up other people. The running back is for real. They still need improvement on the offensive line, and they have some nice players. Christian Kirk's a very nice player. Zay Jones, a pretty good player. But they need more. They're going to get Calvin Ridley, even though he hadn't played in a year and a half or somewhere thereabouts, But I anticipate Calvin Ridley is going to be what Calvin Ridley has always been. We're going to talk about what else they need. We're going to discuss what else this team needs. And I'm gonna ask y'all to do something. I'm gonna ask you, just like I said before, when the Jaguars were an obvious bad team, I said you can't worry too much about familiarity because the players hadn't won anything. All the guys you were familiar with them while they were losing, right? Well, now I'm gonna ask you to do the same thing, that even though the Jaguars did make the playoffs, I want you to understand that the Jaguars still have a ways to go. And because they have a ways to go, don't get emotionally attached and tied to people just because they were on the team when you made this magical run. If there's a way to improve, do it. And don't drop the wrong cargo. I'll talk to you about all of that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars after I let you know that today's show is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy game where they have entries and player projections, and you have to decide if those projections are more or less than what those prize pick entries are. That's pretty simple. That's the way it is. And if you're smart enough to do it and do it correctly, of course you guys are, because y'all tell me how to do my job all the time. So I know that you can tell the Prize Picks people that they're wrong. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players. And if they score more or less than their prize pick projection, guess what? You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that are available. And it's on any sport that you see flying around right now, Prize Picks has an entry game for you. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's just that easy. It's safe and fast in terms of withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time user can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit 100, Prize Picks will give you 100. If you deposit 50, Prize Picks will give you 50. But just don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when you initially sign up for Prize Picks. Today's show is also brought to you by FanDuel. I am so happy to know that we have partnered with FanDuel. I have been a FanDuel player forever, and we're excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're number one in sports books in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. I can attest, it is an absolute blast to play FanDuel, and I'm so happy about this partnership. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. Man, this weekend was up and down, and I'm sure anybody that thought Buffalo was going to win is a little bit disappointed right now. It will be no coin flip. That game will be going to KC. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And we thank you for joining us again here on Locked On Jaguars and making us your first listen. Why am I defending Mike Caldwell? I'm not necessarily caping up and defending Mike Caldwell. I don't know him personally. I am not his agent. All I'm telling everyone to do is pipe down a little bit, that you might be jumping the gun, and understand that there are ways for this football team to improve. I just also can't believe that you guys think that a coaching staff or a front office that kept, first of all, any coaching move, I believe, is going to be made by Doug Peterson. But from the Jaguars, they kept Todd Wash so long. and they kept Doug Marrone for so long, and they kept my friend Dave Caldwell for so long. I can't believe y'all think that after having one of the most successful seasons ever, that they actually go fire somebody. I'm blown away. I just personally don't believe, and this is where it comes back to Trent Baalke. I personally don't believe that the team is as talented defensively as some folks think they are. And here's the quandary that you have. Their salary cap status says that they should be. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. The salary cap status, where the Jags are projected to be $19 million over the cap, suggests that they should be better than they are, especially when he took the team over 2 years ago and they had the most salary cap space in the history, probably in the history of the league, right? And they had the number one pick. So there were seeds planted for this to be a quick turnaround. And then the whole Urban Meyer fiasco kind of pushed it back. So Doug Peterson, in my opinion, is really taking over in year one. That, in my opinion, makes it even more of a reason to not fire anybody, because at some point you have to get some continuity. Everyone wants to fire Mike Caldwell and hire Vic Fangio. I like Vic Fangio. Probably a better defensive coordinator than he was a head coach. But you want this team to go learn another system just that quick? I think they need to find a way to put guys in position where they're more successful. Find the right position for Trayvon, or use them in a way. Wade Phillips always said this. I'm going to just find a way to line a guy up and use him in a way where he is the best. I don't think standing him up is the best thing. I don't necessarily think moving him inside is the best thing, but I do think him having his hand on the ground and being closer to the person that he has to engage is helpful. I also think that they took too long to put Darius Williams on the outside, which is where he played in LA, and that's why you signed him. I think those are the things that they have to see before we all see him, right? One thing I'm not in agreement with, and I've gone back and forth with this with people for a minute. If I ask you who your best right tackle is on the team, you better tell me it's Juwan Taylor. You don't know that Walker Little is better at right tackle than Juwan Taylor. In fact, I don't think he is. So why would you let Juwan Taylor go and move Walker Little to right tackle without understanding that your number one priority is to protect your quarterback at all costs? When Walker Little is on a rookie deal, you can still re-sign Juwan Taylor. If you ask 31 other GMs in this league, who would be a priority? Your starting right tackle, your move tight end who had his best season this year, but who still wasn't what that other tight end was yesterday, right? Which is what I'm saying. Until you can get guys like that, you can't beat teams like that. Or your third edge rusher who had pretty much been a journeyman and is really good as your third edge rusher, but he probably isn't really good as a starter. So therefore, your third edge rusher, your guy that has to be on the field in certain situations, your third edge rusher is very, very important around this league, at the way the game is played now. But by the same token, you're going to prioritize Arden Key or prioritize Evan Engram over your starting right tackle when your starting right tackle plays 100% of the snaps and protects your quarterback. Pardon me when I tell you this. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I can't put it any clearer than that. I've been really nice about that this whole time. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. When you have Walker Little, who you saw his warts yesterday, got bull rushed by Frank Clark, just got a tripping call at the wrong time. You saw that stuff. Doesn't mean that he's not a good player, but it doesn't mean he ain't Anthony Munoz either. And to assume that he can just go over and play right tackle, well, that's a pretty poor assumption to be making, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. It really doesn't mean that is true. We'll talk more about this and how we believe the Jaguars can move forward and add some players while being in salary cap hell, is what I want to call it, because that's where they are. But I'm also tell you how that could be fixed and illuminated. We'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Got to let you know we're real excited about our new sponsor. That is FanDuel here with the Locked On Podcast Network. Because they're the number one sports book in all of America. It is FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, it's even better because they have more features that make betting on sports fun and easy. All you got to do, man, is just go sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. And FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. I have been a FanDuel user for years. Absolutely love it. It's part of what I do. I won me some, and I've almost won the whole bunch, but that's what keeps me going. The fact is that it's so fun and it's so easy to play. All on an app that's safe and secure and easy to use. So FanDuel fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn, where you make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports book partner of the NFL. And you're my unofficial partner here on Locked On Jaguars because it's your team every day, and we thank you for your first listen. So how can they get better? We talked about the salary cap in the past, but usually we talk about it with other teams like Washington, and Lord knows New Orleans they find money everywhere. The Rams have done it, although they might be in a little trouble now. But a lot of other teams have found the money to be able to pay whoever they want, right? The Jaguars can be creative and do the same thing. There is this little problem that a lot of guys at the top of the salary structure are guys that are on shorter deals. Like, for instance, if you ask Christian Kirk to restructure, well, there's less room to really maximize your savings because Christian Kirk has a 3-year deal. I believe Brandon Sheriff and Cam Robinson nobody has a 5-year deal where you're going to be able to stretch this thing out and really maximize pushing money back towards the end or giving them a bonus and prorating that over the life of the contract if the life of the contract is very short or not as long as some have been in the past, unless you, of course, extend the years. And if you do that, that creates another little bit of a problem, even though it alleviates the one that I'm talking about. So it seems like all the guys making the huge money are people that have deals that sign. Now I think by letting go of Shaquille Griffin, they can save about $14 million, and they're $19 million over now. There may be some other guys who are casualties, some not making a lot of money, and some who do make some good cash. I know Marvin Jones will probably be coming off if they don't resign him, which I don't anticipate, a lot of the smaller deals. But it's not just to get you back to ground zero in terms of the cap. You have to have money to sign players. You have to have money to draft players. And then you have to have money for additional free agents in the second phase of free agency, as well as IR guys, like during the year when you sign guys to replace people who got hurt. You have to have money for them. That's usually $6-8 million surplus that you have to save for stuff that happens in season. You need about the same amount of money to sign your draft class. And then if you're going to go out and get one or two free agents or find some good vets on the nice market, you probably want another $15-20 million in space. So when you consider coming out of the whole $19 million, which a lot of that, you know, That's even not including Shaq Griffin next year. Oh, no, that's not included. Shaq Griffin, you're still $5 million. So you have to find a way to come up with, I think, about $35, $40 million in savings just to put yourself in position to go out and add anybody. Folks are sitting here saying that you can't paid Juwan Taylor, so you got to let Juwan Taylor go because you paid Cam Robinson. When both Walker Little and Luke Fortner are on rookie deals, doesn't make any sense. Your quarterback is on a rookie deal. Your star running back is on a rookie deal. There's no way you can tell me that this team can't figure out a way. And even if they don't, even if they could figure out a way, some people are saying you just can't do it. Yes, you can. When you look around at the teams that are left, look at Philly. Look at the 49ers. Look at the investment that they made into their line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. When you have Trevor Lawrence, you need to protect him. So not only would I re-sign Juwan Taylor, my first free agent signing would be Elgton Jenkins, the left guard who can swing the right tackle from Green Bay. I would spare no expense making sure that Trevor Lawrence is upright, especially after him running for his life in Kansas City yesterday. You have to match that. You have to match what you see with the 49ers, the 49ers in that pass rush. I want you to think about the pass rush for the Bengals. I want you to think about what it takes to win. Now that you're on the precipice of being a contender, what it takes to win and what it takes to go the step further. I would totally invest in my offensive line. You're getting Calvin Ridley in at about $10 or $11 million, right? I wouldn't pay Evan Engram an average of $10 million a year, even though he had a career year this year. If he wants to stay here, I'd work a longer-term deal out with him where he gets more than $10 million in guaranteed money. But if I could get him for $7.5-8 million a year over the next 4 years, sure, I'd keep him. But it wouldn't stop me from drafting another tight end as well, someone who could be more dynamic and hope that he turns out if you end up seeing a Luke Musgrave or someone like that in the second round. That's exactly what I do. But what I wouldn't do is let my right tackle go, hope that my swing tackle can play right tackle, and then have to go out and use another priority resource, whether it's a decent amount of money in free agency to sign a veteran or a high pick again to be my swing tackle. Makes absolutely no sense, especially when we're not sure that Walker Little is totally ready to start and we're not sure that he can move over to the other side and be better than the dude we're talking about letting go. Just ask anybody, 24-year-old offensive right tackle who is a 100% snap guy or a move tight end who thrived in your system, who's not elite, or your third edge rusher, who you thinking about re-signing? It's common sense. Here's what the Jags need. Realistically, I don't think they're going to do anything with linebacker, other than maybe adding some depth from a guy who can play special teams. They need a slot corner. They might have to look up in the second or third round and take somebody like Garrett Williams out of Syracuse. That position needs to be filled with a draft pick. The slot corner needs to be filled with a draft pick, and they're going to have to hit on it. I like the safeties. Leave the safeties alone. They need more edge. Would I use a late first-round pick on an edge rusher? Yes. Especially since Josh Allen has 1 year left on his contract. And I might even be inclined, if I got an offer for Josh Allen, to take it. Still. Where was he yesterday? So, yeah, that means B.J. Ojulari and people like that are absolutely in play. And then you look on the veteran market. You look on the veteran market over people that won't require a whole bunch of money, because now the Jaguars are a destination place because people know that they're winning. You find you another Arden Key. Arden Key had a good year. He probably wants more money. If you can't re-sign Arden Key, you find another Arden Key. You find somebody else that's hungry who's willing to take $5 to $7 million to come in here and play and be a part of the team. We're going to talk more throughout this week about how to improve this team, but they have to get better. The last thing I want to say is this. They have a job, and it is incumbent that they are not emotionally tied to this, that they really look at it, and this is where the pro personnel department and the scouts come into play. This is where somebody tells them, that guy is better than the guy you have. When a guy becomes a free agent, you are not obligated to keep him. If there's an improvement and the money is almost just the same, then you get somebody else. You can't stand pat and think that everybody's just going to grow up because of chemistry or because of a natural progression to get better. You have to be aggressive and try to get better. That's what the good teams do. Make sure you check out Locked On NFL and make it your second listen, because Locked On NFL will give you all the information you want from around the National Football League in its entirety, with the use of local hosts from around the Locked On NFL and Locked On Podcast Network. Like, subscribe, and make it your second listen wherever you get your podcast. We'll continue to talk about what we do with the Jaguars for the rest of the week. Doug Peterson is probably going to meet with the media here very shortly. We'll have some information from him tomorrow, and maybe he'll answer some of these questions in his press conference. But until then, you guys take care of each other. We'll see you next time here on Locked On Jaguars.